That makes way more sense to me as a husband. I'm sitting there going, why is my wife obsessed with Mary Magdalene? Like, for weeks now, she's like, hey, do you know this about Mary Magdalene? I'm like, nope. Like, every other day, it's like, hey, Mary Magdalene did this. And you're like, okay. Like, random comments about Mary Magdalene. We're in the kitchen. She's like, Mary Magdalene was amazing. Okay. Like, great. Now I understand. You guys are going to do a Bible study on Mary Magdalene. I totally get it now. Like, I was like, what in the world? I almost at one point was about to be the bad Christian and be like, I don't care about Mary Magdalene. Like, who cares? Now I get it. All right, cool. Hey, it's offering time. We're so excited to be able to give here at Trailhead Church. There's multiple ways to give. If you are an old school individual, checks and cash. I'm a check guy. I like writing a check. I like seeing it in my hand and praying and handing it over to the Lord as an offering. I consider this in those moments of like the widow's mite and just that idea of like, all right, this is it. This is the offering, the sacrifice. And so my encouragement to you is in that we know what the Word of God says, that it is cheerfully. This is a not grudgingly. This is out of not out of compulsion, but regularly, sacrificially. And so that's what it's all about. But outside of giving by checks and cash, you also can give through your smartphone or tablet device by going to trailhead.info and selecting the giving tab, or you can download our new church app. You can also text to give by texting the word Trailhead to 888-364-4483, and then follow those prompts. For some of you that are in this room that you have been giving faithfully and sacrificially towards our Journey Home project, which is our future home, not too far from here, we want to thank you for that continuing process of seeing your pledge being fulfilled. For all of you that have been here for the last 2 years, and yes, strangely enough, it's been 2 years through this Journey Home process, we are wrapping that up here this end of this past month. However, we know that there's more to come, and we want to celebrate, and we thought, hey, let's celebrate in our future home, which is soon and very soon. And so just know that we're not just being like, all right, thanks for giving, and then that was it. But we plan to celebrate this whole process. And I plan here at the 1st of December to give you the numbers of what took place and all of that good stuff. So in 1 month, we'll give you all the numbers about the Journey Home. But then we're going to celebrate in, and I'll just leave that as a fill in the blank of when we'll celebrate at our future home. I don't have those dates. However, I do need all of you to be praying. This Wednesday is a monumental Wednesday for our church facility. We are doing our certificate of occupancy. So we are praying that that goes smoothly and that we have favor amongst God and man during this process. So on Wednesday, if you are on your hands and knees praying, then that is a great prayer to put before God. Does that sound good? Everybody in agreement? Say amen.
Amen.
Yes, hallelujah. All right. Now, is there anything else I want to say? I don't think so. Let's pray. Let's receive offering. We'll get right into the message here this morning. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, to pray, Lord, present our requests, make them known to you. God, I thank you, Lord. Lord, that you are satisfying us in a sun-scorched land. God, that our wells and our springs are overflowing. God, knowing that you are with us, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, God, you love us dearly. And God, we thank you for this. God, this morning, as we give our tithes and our offerings, Lord, we are believing, Lord, that debts are demolished, Lord, that bills are paid off. Lord, we are believing for favor in every area of our lives. God, we thank you for the blessings. Lord, we thank you for our storehouses that are overflowing, our vats that are overflowing. God, I thank you for this. God, I thank you for many of us in this room. Lord, I am praying for supernatural favor within our workplaces, Lord, in our jobs, of everything that we put our hands to. But God, that we remember, Lord, that we're doing it, Lord, and for the glory of God, everything that we put our hands to, Lord, we give you honor and praise over it. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We honor you here this morning with our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings. And in Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. All right, guys. Also, by the way, for some of you guys that are here, not just online, obviously, but if you are giving by checks and cash, the offering buckets are outside. We're not passing it due to all that's taking place right now around our world. Okay. Brian, I don't know, I sound really hot. I sound hot to you up there? I know I look hot. I had to go there. It was there. It was there. It was laid before me. I had to go there. All right, here we go. Brian, thank you. I hear it. It's way better now. All right. Hey, guys, this morning's message, it means a ton to me because even last week's message, I'm building into something here. I know you guys may or may not get tired of me talking about our future home. I'm just excited about our future home. I feel like Mary Magdalene. I do not feel like Mary Magdalene. Gosh, what in the world? I feel like Martha and Mary. I feel like Martha. I'm a Martha. I am busy, busy bee, and I am tired of being a busy bee. But I want to get into our new facility and just see the spiritual growth that take place within our house. But I want us to get our house prepared. I want us to be in a position of preparation right now, spiritual preparation, and a preparation, in a placement of preparation so that when the glory of God falls upon us, we are vessels that can receive that, that we are ready in a most wonderful way, in a way that you've never imagined before. And it's going to take some real dedication to see this through. And that's what my hope and prayer is for everyone, whether you're at home right now or whether you're here at the Graham Cinema. You guys, you're all in this, and that we're doing this together. I don't care the distance that we may have, but that we are locking arms spiritually to see ourselves spiritually fit for the outpouring of heaven upon Trailhead Church. So that's my whole point of this message. I picked this photo because this photo behind me, here, the message title this morning is An Atmosphere of Faith in a Sun-Scorched Land, in a place, in a desolate area. It doesn't matter. As Christians, we have faith. No matter what's taking place, no matter where our circumstances may lay or lie upon our lives, guess what? We are blessed. We are loved, and we are yielded to the power of God upon our lives. And that is a huge, important part of our lives in this moment right now, where we stand, what we're doing. You know, when you read the Word of God and I see these stories in the Bible and I think, wow, what a powerful story. It's usually typically outside of maybe a handful of men and women in the Bible. It's usually one circumstance with one individual. And it was them making the right decision because their life was yielded to the power of God. For some of us, you may think it's a life lived. It is a life fully lived, obviously, for the things of God to be a slave to Christ. That is absolute 100%. But I do believe that there are instances, circumstances, one particular moment that is huge, that makes a difference, that makes a ripple effect, a dent upon lives that you've never imagined before. And many people miss it because they were not yielded. They were not in a position of faith. They were in a position of doubt and unbelief. But when I see these stories in the Bible, when I read these wonderful men and women in the Word of God, they were yielded. They were full of faith. They were willing to do what God had called them to do, and they changed history. And that's where I want us all to be in a posture, an atmosphere of faith. So I want to teach this morning on how to achieve an atmosphere of faith. Many of you get confused with the next phrase I'm about to say just based upon lack of understanding or a lack of perspective of what I'm saying. So if you have a preconceived notion of the phrase I'm about to say, I want you to wash it out of your brain right now. I want us to start fresh. But the phrase I want to say is a confession of faith. A confession of faith. I want you to have a confession of faith upon your life. meaning that when you are walking, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, and I'm not just talking about a physical walking, I'm talking about a spiritual walking, a physical walking, of you're having a confession of faith. You are always speaking faith. So my first point this morning is acknowledging, recognizing your words have power. Your words have power. You guys, back in, even in the 90s, when Dr. Kevorkian was being tried for his crimes, Dr. Kevorkian, even in the court system, they recognized that his words had power. His words have power. If you guys don't remember Dr. Kevorkian, you as adults in this room, because we have children, you guys look up Dr. Kevorkian. You'll remember very quickly what I'm talking about. But in those moments of in the trials, they actually recognized that his words had power. And his words were full of death and destruction. Guys, our words have power. I'm reminded of a great Proverbs here, Proverbs 14:1. It says, a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Do you guys know I'm guided? My hands are guided by my what? My thoughts. My hands, they don't just do something. Now, every so often, I'll get that weird, what did that happen? That's just getting old, right? That's what I think. Or in those moments you're like this, and you're like, what's going on? You're like, I don't know, stop it, you know? But my hands are only going to do what I tell them to do. And this scripture, it says, a wise woman builds her home. A wise woman builds her home. A foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Your mind, your thoughts, your confession of faith can build something up, but your lack of confession of faith can tear it down. God's words are good. When you focus on God's words, when you fill yourself up with God's words, you will become wise. His instruction, Proverbs 16, come on. Proverbs 16 tells you plenty of times that when you heed to good instruction, when you listen to good instruction, you're going to make wise decisions. And in that, you guys can either tear your house down or you can build it up. This is a decision you have to make this morning. If am I going to allow my words to have power? Yeah. You're going to give your words power by having a confession of faith. When you speak God's words, you give them power. Power that is supernatural power. Power that makes things manifest that you've never seen before. Now, some of you in this room, again, I want you to wash out some of those thoughts that you've had about the phrase confession of faith. Because a lot of people start believing into this prosperity of crazy notions of prosperity. But I'm not talking about those crazy notions of prosperity. What I am telling you right now, that many of you in this room, you are listening to voices that are not of God. And then you begin to confess those thoughts. You begin to confess those things that are infiltrating your heart. And you need to heed to this warning. And you need to stop, because as you begin to speak God's words of love over your life, if you begin to know that God is for you, who could be against you? You are welcoming an atmosphere of the power of God in your life. Do you guys remember when the two spies, or when the multitude, not just the spies, but when the multitude of individuals, when the Israelites were coming to the promised land, and Moses sent over some individuals to go scout out the land, only two came back with the idea of knowing God can see us through to the end. The other ones were lacking in faith, and all they wanted to do was spew out doubt and unbelief, and it carried on throughout all of Israel. This is sad. This is so sad. Why? Because They didn't get to eat of the promised land. They didn't get to see their generations to come into the promised land. They had to die out. Your lack of faith will kill you. No one wants to admit that. No, don't say that. That's too harsh. No, but it's the truth. Your lack of faith will destroy your identity in Christ. Your lack of faith will literally suffocate you from doing the things of God, from seeing fit that your house is being built and not torn down. You have to give acknowledgement to the fact that your words have power. James chapter 3, verses 7 through 18 says, "People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover it up with the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." I think the Word of God sums it up perfectly right there. I don't need to really expand on this very much, but for you that went space cadet on me while halfway reading it because of our attention deficit here, reread it. Don't act like, "Oh, I didn't know." You don't know any better. No, you just heard it. Reread it. You guys, we have been called to be peacemakers. We have been called to make a choice to think about wisdom, to meditate on those things of God, or to be steered by the things of this world, those demonic natures, the unspiritual, ungodly things. There's a lot of moments right now, many of us are very well aware of this, that they are trying to get a hold of your attention. They want to steal your attention away from the things of God. They want every ounce. They are a sponge. They want everything that you have or could be giving to the things of God. They want that. And they're going to do, there are so many forces fighting you in this room. There are so many forces fighting you in your workplaces, in everything you put your hands to. There are so many moments of victim mentality. There's moments of you want to victimize the circumstance because you want the attention and you're not walking in humility. You're not walking in selflessness. You're walking in this insecurity that wants to suck everybody dry around you. You are at work complaining constantly. You are with your spouse complaining constantly. I am hurting you right now, and I know it, because you're walking in offense. Any word that I say right now, you just perceive it as a hurtful way to receive the things of God. When I'm trying to correct you through the word of God by saying to you, God loves you, God has a plan for you, and he wants you to turn your rudder, he wants you to turn this around. He wants you to be focused on the things of God. But you want to sit here and spew doubt and unbelief everywhere you go, the things you put your hands to, your thoughts. I was sitting up here on the stage and I told Dave, I said, I got to confess to you. I said, I am not thinking about this message right now. I said, I'm thinking about how the boom lift was parked out in the grass and it's raining right now and I can't take the boom lift over to the front of the building so Mickey can paint it white this next week. The building's not getting painted white, by the way. We're getting a huge mural put on the front of our building. So don't be like, we're painting the brick white. No, just stop, okay? But that's where my brain's going right now. I'm upset that I have to get all this black walnut wood out and plane it. I've got to hanging the sound baffles this week. We got to finish polishing the floors or start polishing the floors. Like that's where my brain's going. Like I'm not on the things of God myself. I'm focused on all of the busy work. Like I'm confessing to all of you right now my own personal sins. Because I want to be focused on the things of God. Like even this past week, God woke me up real early one morning. And I woke up one morning, and every morning I wake up, I'm just thinking about all of the busy work that I've got to do, right? And it was that wake up early moment that God says, no, I need you to go and study. So I went and I studied. You know, I had a better day that day. And even the guys, the people that were around me, I guarantee you that Dave and Christian and Katie and Jeremy all noticed that it was a better day. If I asked them what day of the week that was, they could probably say it. I'm not going to call them out right now. But there was a better day that I had this past week just because, why? Because I was focused on the Word of God that morning, more so than I was all the other mornings. But guys, this is where we need to wake up and we need to realize that our words have power and our words will have power when you're focused on the things of God. When you are listening to the Word of God, you will be speaking the Word of God. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. This shields to my next point in the word. I've been saying it a lot this morning. It's yield. Yield. In Genesis 13:8-9, I love the story. I've used it here recently a lot. It says, so Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. You know what I love about this posture that Abram has is that he is willing to yield, to allow that there's no strife. But he's willing to yield with the power of knowing that no matter where he's going, God is there. That is huge for a lot of us in this room. That we are filled with selfish ambition. We are dealing with how can I get ahead? How can I do these things? God's giving us an example here to follow that it's not by your might. It's not by your might. God's going to see you through. So in order to cease the strife and the hardship that you may be dealing in your family, in your house, in your workplace, you need to yield. You need to allow God to heal You need to allow God to come in and restore through your yielding, through your selfless ambition to sit here and sit back and go, you know what, God, I'm going to allow you to come in because you're going to see that everything I need comes to pass. You're going to see that anything that I've got to do will be done. And you're going to see fit that I'm going to have what I need. You say that I'm going to have what I need. So if I am a representation of Jesus Christ wherever I go, and he had everything he needed. He, even if you gave him two fish, he could make a billion things out of it, right? Even if you gave him one thing, he could make something happen out of it. So many times we're sitting here, we are a Christ representation. So therefore, everywhere we go, we'll have what we need if we just yield. Instead of that constant fighting and bickering, wanting to see your enemies destroyed, we need to love them by putting hot, loving them is like putting hot burning coals on their head. Guys, we need to love them. We have so much animosity right now. There's so much hate. There's so many different divisions. Man, there is so much happening trying to separate us, trying to destroy us. We need to yield, and we need to say, you know what? I'm going to let God come in. I'm going to let God take care of this. I'm going to let God fight my battles. I'm going to let God speak to my enemies. I'm going to let him be the judge and executioner. No matter what happens this week to come, I'm pretty sure we're going to be okay. You know where I'm going with this. I don't know if you guys know this, but some of you in this room are Republicans. And some of you in this room are Democrats. But you know what? That's not how Jesus Christ sees you at all. And I know some of you are sitting here going, but you don't understand. No, I do understand. I know that my God's got me. I know my house is a house with an atmosphere of faith and not doubt. I am not going to be gloom and doom on November 4th. I am not going to sit here and go, oh my gosh. You know what? Duke loses a lot. And I still like Duke. And I got to tell you right now, Marshall University, my alma mater, they're the worst. They never have good teams. Finally, I think we actually have a good football team this year. Thank you, Jesus. Good quarterback, strong. I like him. But guess what? We still lose. But it does not dictate my faith. It does not make my God any less stronger. It doesn't diminish his love for me and my family. Guys, we've got to stop. We have to stop allowing these outside forces of nature to come in and sway us. We are not defeated. We are not defeated. I want us to yield. Humility, you know, blossoms. Humility blossoms as the Holy Spirit works in our lives. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest in your life. Meaning, and you'll say, well, Josh, how do I do this? You do this by seeking the Holy Spirit out. When you are in your prayer closets, when you're in your car, when you're in wherever you're at, you need to worship God. You need to welcome the Holy Spirit in that atmosphere. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Oh, man, speak to me. You need to operate from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of you in this room, you're sitting here going, I have no idea what you're talking about. You need to study this out, okay? You need to study it out. If my children came to me and they said, I don't know what 10 plus 10 is, then I would what? I would tell them to go find it out. Go find out how you get 10 plus 10. I'm not going to let my children walk around with their shoes untied. Guess what? Learn how to tie your shoes. You in this room, Learn how to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Study it out. Stop being blind. Stop being ignorant. Stop allowing this idea of like, oh, that's too much, too heavy. I don't want to think about that. No, that's what's going to get you to a place where the humility is blossoming. Wherever you go, whatever you put your hands to, you're going to be prosperous. Why? Because you're going to have the instruction and the wisdom from God above, because that's what the Holy Spirit's all about. He whispers to us the things that God tells him. The Holy Spirit is operating, right? Is operating on our behalf so that we know what we need to be doing. Man, there are so many times I'll give you this quick announcement. You guys blessed my wife and I with this wonderful pastoral gift to go ride a hot air balloon. So thank you, by the way. I cannot wait. My wife, on the other hand, she's a little nervous. I can't wait. I looked at her and I said, hey, I said, I want us to invite our friends. We have a pastoral friends in Tennessee. I said, I want you to invite them to go with us. And they were like, they were so excited that we asked them. But then we told them, but there's a catch. The catch is that the reason why we're going here is that we're actually going to ride a hot air balloon. And it's, do you want to ride a hot air balloon? And immediately the wife was like, no. Like, not going to happen. We're like, well, but it would be a lot of fun. But here's the thing. Here's they had been praying. They had been praying that they were able to get their focus. They have been thinking about so much church stuff, the Martha moment, that they've been focused so hard on the church that they weren't able to just get out and breathe and relax and be with another like-minded couple in the sense of, hey, man, we love to worship God everywhere, wherever we go, whatever we're doing, whatever we put our hands to. And so they were so excited that this was a prayer answered, and they had been praying, and this was why I got the text message from the wife yesterday. It was super funny. She said, I have been praying for adventurous moments and I need to heed to this. And I said, yes, you do. Yes, you do. So then she sent me her credit card number, so I bought her ticket, and she's not coming out of it now. But she said, I had been praying for adventurous things to take place in our lives, and here I was going to just toss it away. But here it is, that one moment to get in a hot air balloon, do something different, outside the box. And so what I'm trying to present to you is, God will, in a way deeper manifestation than just that, but God will open up a door for you and that you need to walk through it. And it's through the unction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to unction you and say, hey, this is what you've been praying about. This is what you need. This is what's going to supply that void in your life that God's been trying to tell you. I've got more for you. I've got something for you. I've got purpose for you. I have direction for you. You need to be attentive, know that voice. And my last point in having an atmosphere of faith is you have got to begin, if not already, to this word right here, receive. Man, is it hard for you to receive. Some of you, it is so hard for you to receive. You say you can give, but you're actually not a good giver unless you can receive. That word is difficult. Receive. Can you receive today? There is one aspect of this I want you to receive. That's not my full point. But I wanted to stop right there for a second, just for you to soak in on the word receive. Oh, we can give. Can you receive? But can you receive God's love? Do you soak in this? Are you allowing the love of God to overwhelm you, consume you? Are you allowing God's love, meaning that it supersedes any doubt you have? It supersedes any emotion you are feeling. Are you allowing God's love to consume you in such a way that no matter who or what is said to you, it doesn't affect you because God's love is greater than that? Emotions are great. Don't get me wrong. Emotions are real. But you cannot allow your physical emotions to supersede God's love for you. Sometimes you allow anger to overwhelm you. You allow bitterness, strife, pain, sadness. In all of those emotions, God has an antidote. God has exactly what you need, but you have got to wake up to say, you know what? I've got to go there. Some of you just want to sit in sadness. You want to sit in a victim mentality. You want to sit here and you want to get, you are allowing the emotions to sock you in the face over and over and over again. It's like you're just a glutton for punishment. But there is a wake up here of saying, no, I need to get out of this. I need to get myself up. I need to listen to what God's word says about it. How do I overcome anger? How do I overcome bitterness? How do I overcome this feeling of emotion that's directing me? It's controlling every thought that I have, and it's spewing out of my heart. It's coming out of my mouth. I am hurting and offending people, and you don't even recognize it. But you've got to wake up to this and recognize it, because it is important for you to have an atmosphere of faith where you're seeing the fruits of the Spirit being manifest out of your life, that people are blessed when you're in the room and not cursed when you're in the room. That people are fed when you're in the room, or are they starving when you're in the room? Are you sucking everything from them, or are you blessing them? Are you the individual that is just, I call them VDPs, very draining people? VDPs, everybody's got them. You might be one of them. And that's who I'm talking to today. It's not worth it. Yield. It's not worth it. Some of you need to, some of this is hard. Some of this is hard. Some of you don't want to hear this. You don't want to think about it, but it's hard. It's hard. I know it's hard. Mark chapter 9, verse 33 through 37. It's a great story. It's my last one. It says, then he, Jesus, came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, and I love this. If you read and start dissecting this and looking up the Hebrew and the Greek, it's really fun. It says, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent. That word kept is important. Here's why. We're in a house. There's a party happening. There's a bunch of people in the room. Jesus is actually, if you read the Hebrew and Greek form of this, and you study this out, this will make more sense to you. It's a group of people. You're in a house. And Jesus is basically moving around, talking to everyone. And he is asking them over and over again, hey, what were you guys talking about on that road? And the word kept, they kept silent. Meaning, it's giving you the form that he's continuing to ask them. They kept silent. He was going around, hey, Bartholomew, what were you guys talking about? Hey, Thaddeus, hey, what were you talking about? Hey, John, what were you guys talking about? What were you and Peter and all those guys, what were you guys talking about? Nothing. Now, they're all separated. because of the next sentence. They're all separated in place. They kept silent. For on the road, they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down. He called the 12 and said to them. He called the 12, meaning what? He gathered them. He brought them together. He brought them together because he had been going around separately because they weren't together. Hey, what are you guys talking about? What are you talking about? Hey, and they kept silent. And he brought them all together. Bringing them all together, he sat down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child. Now, back in the day, children were the lowliest. They had no purpose. They had no meaning. They were street rats. They were looked upon as just annoying almost. But then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. You know, I know this is difficult to do in your workplaces, but it's not difficult to do in your homes. In your immediate friends and your extending family, it would be important that you would bring them all together. That you bring them all together, because even though they may not be disputing who is the best, who is first, but there is an ambition that takes place and it supersedes, and there's fighting and there's quarreling and there's all of this animosity and whatever's happening in your house. But I would encourage you to create an atmosphere of faith where you're not the one. This is not a selfish ambition thing where I have faith so that I can be this or I can have that. No, you have faith to see that people are saved and healed and restored. That it's not about you, it's about others. The atmosphere of faith is so that people will get to know who they are in Jesus Christ to the fullest. An atmosphere of faith is creating an environment where people are being set free from this world. That atmosphere of faith is not for your self-wealth. The atmosphere of faith, when I said earlier that when you have faith, it brings the power of God in, not so that you can have things of this world, but so that you can have things of this world to reach people out there. That when you need something for the calling of God upon your life, you will have it. That is so that you can be an instrument for noble purpose. And if you need a tool to assist you in that process, then you will be given a tool to do it. It's not about having the big things or the most of something. It's about having an atmosphere of faith so that the world could be changed because the gospel is being spread through you as a vessel that's willing to do it. But if you're not a vessel that is empty, but full of emotion and full of self-desire, of self-something, then you're not going to be in a placement where faith can be spread, where faith can be heard, or faith that can be seen. You have got to acknowledge where you are and begin to change. If you're not creating an atmosphere of faith where people are being led to the power and to Jesus Christ, then you need to make some adjustments in your life. But Jesus gives us this great example that he brings everyone together because they're disputing. How can I be the best? He knows that that's not going to get anywhere. That's not going to do anything. You're creating a hierarchy of I'm more better. No, that's really bad English. I am better than all of you. You walk around pride before the fall, right, people? To have an atmosphere of faith, you've got to begin with your words. You've got to begin with your words, and then your posture of yielding starts to be practiced and performed. to where everywhere you go, you are yielded. And being yielded, you're able to receive the love of God in such a way that the things that are trying to come at you to hinder your yielding, to make you want to stop yielding, but then puff out your chest and want to fight and scream and yell. But if you're yielded, then you can receive the love of God. And when you receive the love of God, you just slowly start fading back. It's not my ways. It's His way. And you will then begin to be able to receive the lowliest of lows, no matter who they are. You're not putting yourself before someone else. You're able to show them the love of God in such a way that it was intended to be. There'll be a lot less yelling, a lot less division, a lot less worry, doubt, unbelief. You will literally be living in an atmosphere of faith and not an atmosphere of fear. No matter what it may look like, God is your supplier. God will take care of you. God is with you. He is for you. He is not against you. Do you guys realize that our sense of value and worth truly comes from an understanding that God loves you? He wants to value you. He wants to shower us freely with favor like you've never seen before. But you recognize in those moments, it's because you have chosen to live in an atmosphere of faith that it's only through the power of God that this is possible. You guys, Jeremy McKnight, he's been wanting to hang these speakers at our church for weeks now. Jeremy loves speakers. He loves speakers. He loves tech. And I just knew I couldn't do it. And I was praying. And then on last Sunday evening, Seth Zuhl comes up to me and says, "Hey, I'm free 2 days this week." You guys remember what I prayed last week? I prayed that people would be off work and be able to come in and do some things. And Seth goes, "Hey, I can give you 2 days, maybe three." He gave us four. And Seth hung those speakers, and I didn't have to. That was God. Because Seth knew exactly what was needed. He knew exactly the right clamps so that no one would die when they're underneath the speakers. Everyone should be thanking Jesus for that. Because I would have just hung some wire over it and just tied it together in a bow tie. I'm kidding. That's not the truth at all. But praise you, Jesus, in that moment that there's an atmosphere of faith, of knowing, I'm not going to do it, but I don't have to. God's going to supply this. And I'm going to see fit that it is supplied. And God did it. My happiest day this week was Wednesday. And why is that? Because I started with God. And then God supplied everything we needed that day. I want you to walk in an atmosphere of faith, and it starts with acknowledging the words you're speaking, the posture of yielding, and then receiving the love of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together. And I thank you, Lord, that we are set apart for such a time as this. But Lord, in this such a time as this, we recognize that we need to have an atmosphere of faith. God, knowing that you're going to see it through to the end. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for this body of believers. Lord, we honor you in everything we put our hands to, everywhere we go, every word that is spoken. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. For all of you that are home and you're watching, stick around. Miss Christian's got a great message for you guys and all of your children. I'd encourage, grab them. It's going to be an awesome message. You guys have a great Sunday. For everyone.